Coach Harrison and I met 5 years ago, and we were in a pool. Don't ask why. And I remember thinking, I like that guy.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You like that open?
I like that open. It's, yeah, I'm going to miss the old one, but I really like that one.
Yeah, we had to move on.
Yes.
We had to move on. KJ's moving on to bigger and better things, getting invited to the combine and all that good stuff. We got to move on.
Yeah.
Happy Ferg Friday, everyone. I'm Zach Blackerby, Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer joining us today. How's the content been? I mean, the off season is upon us.
Yeah, it was a busy week for me because I kind of hit a point where I'm like, all right, we need spring football to come around because I'm kind of tapping out on ideas at this point.
You know, when you pull out the depth chart, it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, it's here.
Well, the other thing there is like, I mean, not to get too inside baseball here, but like it was like, it's March. And then my other thought process, and I'll be completely honest with you, my thought process was, it's like, if I do it now, I'll beat everybody to doing it because no one, like there are people who have done it, you know, when the year started and I didn't do one then. And so my thought process was like, all right, maybe I get some more eyeballs on it if I'm the first one out. And
sure.
So it was a lot, but yeah, putting out the depth chart on Monday and Tuesday this week. Was a lot of fun, but a lot of time too, especially trying to figure out the defense.
So I actually have more questions on the offensive side of the ball. How did you choose to do the receivers?
Yeah.
Did you act like it was just the same thing that Auburn has been doing?
So if you go and look at Boise State's offense and Mike Bobo's offense in the past, they use the same kind of terminology, X, Z, H. I mean, it's very standard. So, yeah, I mean, the slot is where things kind of get a little dicey usually. But, yeah, just like these guys make sense as split ends. These guys make sense as slinkers. Kind of going back and looking at where guys lined up last season more often than not and trying to piece it around that way.
So you had Capers and Canyon
mm-hmm.
at the same position.
And I could see that, you know, if Canyon breaks out and plays like he did
in the bowl game.
In the bowl game. You can move him to the outside. You can move him to the slot. I mean, those guys could all kind of move around. But, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, all right, gun to your head, who do you think the top three receivers are? Oh, I just went with the top three guys from last season that are back in Capers Hudson and Shed Jackson. And it's like, all right, where do those kind of guys kind of fit in most together? And then, of course, Canyon was next in line. But, like, I mean, that the thing about Auburn's receivers over the last – couple of cycles has been, and I've said it before, for a long time Auburn said we're going to get tall receivers and we're going to get small fast receivers, and they're like, well, what if we got some tall fast receivers? And so you have Xavion Capers and you have a guy like Elijah Canyon who's got some real deal speed.
Yeah,
Malcolm Johnson's not short either by any means. Like there's a bunch of bigger dudes that can that have got some speed. JJ Evans as well, like, have got some speed to them. So it's what makes it thing. I think the lines kind of get blurred a little bit.
Yeah, I really want to see Canyon and Capers on the field at the same time. Just because of that size, it really creates issues where it's like when you're a safety and you've got to kind of help give backup support on, you know, the outside of the field one way or the other. And it's like, well, you're going to have a mismatch on the field from a size standpoint. Now, obviously, can they get open and things like that and, you know, complete the catch and all that? There's a lot that goes into it. But I like the idea of that.
Yeah, and my thing with Canyon is like, and this is all going to be wide open, fresh set of eyes, clean slate, whatever you want to call it. My thing with Canyon is like, he did not play hardly at all until that bowl game because he had to.
Right.
So, again, I thought he played well. He's got the skill talent, but like, was that a one off or is that something he can build on in the spring? And I don't know yet, but I'd be very curious. I also said. And I think I said this on the podcast that we did on Thursday with Painter. It's like there's always a receiver, even back under Gus, there's always a receiver who breaks out in spring ball where you look at him, you're like, oh, you weren't necessarily thinking he was going to be one of the top guys. Who's that going to be? And there are like five or six candidates for that job, you know, in this. And I think Canyon is one of them. And at least we know what Canyon can do when he gets opportunities because, you know, his opportunities that he got against Northwestern, he made pretty good work of them.
And I think whatever players have done prior to spring training matters zero.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the new staff. especially with the new staff.
Harsin's going to have no problem going in and saying, I don't care what you've done. And there's going to be some guys that may have been starters or in the rotation that fall down the depth chart because they were Gus guys or Kevin Steele guys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, Harsin's going to pick his group of people.
And that's what makes projecting this thing such a challenge.
Impossible.
It's like, yeah, you're just like, all right, well, what's the best thing you can base this off of right now? And what I found was, all right, let's just lean on experience at this point. It's like in my depth chart projection, I have Demetrius Davis as the fourth quarterback. Not because I think he's the fourth best quarterback. Not because I think by the time fall rolls around, he'll be the fourth quarterback. That's just where he is right now. Let's see what he does when he gets some more experience here, you know, in spring ball. And I think, you know, he could definitely shoot up the depth chart very, very quickly.
Not to give too much away, because people need to go to auburnobserver.com to sign up for all of this, but Frazier was lower on the tight end list than I was expecting.
Yeah, and that was just based on reps, basically. Kind of where they are at right now. John Samuel Shanker kind of can do everything. He's up there. Luke Deal out-snapped Piggy, and then there's Frazier. It's just we didn't see a ton of Frazier last season. I'm sure that is going to change, because not only do you have coaches in Harsin and Bobo that have had plenty of experience running two tight end sets, which is something Auburn did a decent bit last year, you don't have a whole lot of experience at wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
So that tight end position is going to have to contribute a big way. Nothing against Luke Deal. Not even anything against J.J. Pegues or John Samuel Shanker. Those guys aren't necessarily the receiving – they don't have the receiving potential of a guy like Frazier, because they're not 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
And they can't jump out of the stadium. Like that's where I think Frazier can make a big move up. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all. We get to the end of spring ball after A-Day, and we're like, Brandon Frazier is going to be a big part of this offense next season, because he's got all the talent in the world, I think, and you can't teach some of the things he has.
So, folks in the Locked On Auburn Discord, I put up in the pod questions channel, I put out a thing, does anybody have questions for Jay Ferg? We're recording tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some good ones. You want to, you cool answering a few?
Yeah, let's do it.
The first one from Tyg Eagle says, make him give his favorite dad joke. You got any of those you just can pull out?
Ooh, favorite dad joke. I don't know. Do you have one?
I'm never buying Velcro again.
What's that?
Velcro?
Yeah.
it's a ripoff.
All right. How about this? I will try to think in the back of my head during this, and if I pull it out by the end of the episode, I should be able to get
that's
one.
Fine. All right, so two people sent, like, at the exact same time, HP23 Bomber and Bine. They both ask, you're very high on Alan Flanagan.
Yes.
And they want you to defend Alan Flanagan, because a lot of the Auburn fan base is not happy with him.
Yeah, and that's insane. I mean,
why is it insane?
The reason he has struggled, like, with turnovers and stuff like this season.
I think that's probably the big thing, right, that most people are upset with.
Yeah, I mean, that's trouble. But, like, he's playing a position he's not geared to do. You're asking him to do something completely different. When he gets to play his role, and we've seen this a few times, we definitely saw this with Sharif Cooper, when he gets to play his role, I don't think there's a better non-big man rebounder on the team. I don't think there's a better wing defender on the team. I don't think there's a better guy who can go get his shot. Cooper, you know, notwithstanding, but, like, he's a really, really good basketball player.
Sure.
And statistically, he's done stuff this season that if, like, again, turnovers are turnovers, but for a guy who last season was a liability on the offensive end to be arguably your second best offensive player this season shows the progress he's made. And he's done it while not being able to play his natural position the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a really, really good basketball. He's not perfect. I mean, none of these dudes are. The turnovers are an issue. And even if he wasn't having to play point guard, he still, at wing, has some turnover problems. But he does everything else that you want to do and what you need from a wing like this in this system. And, I mean, he's got a lot of room to still grow,
and I
think he's going to be a really good piece next year.
I think that's a great answer. Justin Ferguson joining us. This is Locked On Auburn. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at betonline.ag. We talk about it all the time. It is the best place to place all of your sports wagering. You can even bet on things outside of sports, live events, award shows, if you're one of the three people that still watch those kinds of things. But hey, maybe if you live bet some of these things, it'll be more interesting and more people will be into it. So, yeah, betonline.ag. It's free to make an account. And it's also, I mean, you can get some money back when you make an account at betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jess, so we got more fan questions. Tyler asked you to name your top five Auburn players that you actually watch regardless of sport.
Mm.
The actually word is interesting. So your top five Auburn players you've been able to watch, I guess, either as either growing up or covering them.
Okay.
Top five, just kind of shoot from the hip, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Newton has to be the top.
Yeah.
I think he might be the best. He might be the best college quarterback who's ever lived, even though he had just one season. I went back and people were talking about him earlier this week for some things, and I went back and watched. And Auburn fans know it, but I think in the lore of Cam Newton, it gets overlooked. The touchdown dive against South Carolina when he took off from the 7. I mean, there are only a handful of people who have ever played the quarterback position who can do that.
It's crazy. I forget every year. And every offseason, I go back and watch a lot of that 2010 season. And you just forget, one, how much he was used, and two, the pieces that were around him were really good college football players, but they weren't great. He was the only guy to make it in the NFL, and you had Nick Fairley, and that was it. And it's amazing what he was able to do.
Yeah, they had three offensive linemen drafted from that team. The highest one was a fifth rounder. The other two were seventh rounders. They all combined to start one game in the NFL.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And his number one guy, Darvin,
right.
I mean, I think he made the Panthers practice squad for a little bit, and that was it.
I will go with also, and I guess this is really no particular order after this. I'm going to go with Derrick Brown. I think Derrick Brown, I've said it before, I think Derrick Brown is the most talented defensive player in Auburn history. And I know a lot of people will point to Fairley, a lot of people will point to Tracy Rocker, point to a lot of those guys. I think what Derrick, kind of like Cam Newton, there are only a few people on planet Earth who can do things that he did at his size. And he was, I mean, especially his last season, he was a game wrecker every time he stepped onto the field. So I'll put Derrick Brown on there. Let's see. Basketball. I'll try to throw in a couple of basketball ones here.
Jared Harper going to make it?
Really? It's the thing was I really like Jared a lot, but you know, I'm gonna go a little old school here. I'm gonna go a little old school here and
Tay Waller.
Yes, Tay Waller.
Lucas Hargrove.
I'm gonna go a little old school here and I'm gonna go with Chris Porter.
Okay.
Chris Porter mesmerizing growing up watching him and the things that he could do on a basketball floor. The dunks especially were kind of crazy growing up, and that early experience kind of watching basketball is with those late 90s Auburn teams was a lot of fun. You know what? I'll go Jared at four. I'll go with Jared there. And I like Jared a lot because he was one of those guys that, you know, not only did he make everybody else better around him, but man had an attitude and was just fearless on the floor. And, you know, if he was 3 inches taller, I mean, we'd be looking at him like he's Damian Lillard or something right now. So I like him as well. And then my fifth one, I get a special shout out here. It did not. Well, I guess I was already off that beat by the time all the horrible stuff that happened there went down. But the couple years I covered Auburn softball,
okay,
I want to shout out Casey Cooper. I think Casey Cooper was an absolute machine.
I don't think there's any doubt.
And watching her play was pretty cool. Like it would be funny when we would cover her, and it would be like, she felt like she was in a slump or whatever. She'd be irritated after games about how she played, and she's still batting 430 or something like that. She was awesome. She was an awesome player to watch. So I'll go with Coop there to round out that list.
Sure. Okay. Sweet. No, thank you for rolling with the punches there. I didn't tell you I was going to do this.
Yeah, that was good.
We got another one. Could you ask him what he thinks about JT Thor's upside? How good can that guy be?
JT Thor's upside is lottery pick in the NBA draft. I don't know how high he will be able to go, but I feel like I'm just kind of saying this over and over again. But, you know, at his size, when he kind of gets to the basket, like that Euro step that he had in the game against Kentucky.
It was pretty.
Dudes of that size don't really do that much. He's got to get bigger. I think if he gets bigger and thicker this offseason, which is going to be helpful for him, and still maintains that athleticism, that face-up game, that explosiveness.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a really good spot because he's kind of like the future of basketball rolled into one. If you can do everything and you also have
super
insane length.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, and I've said it several times this year, but he has the same dimensions. If his wingspan is the same as what we believe it is, he has the same dimensions as Giannis. That, you know, those
he's
guys,
pretty good.
Those guys are rare. Those guys are very, very rare.
The weight thing is interesting because I think it's very clear you got to watch him. But then the question is, like, how much do you want to put on him? I was having this conversation with Jaws the other day.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want 15 pounds? Can you go more than that? Like, how much can that frame handle? It's long, so I think he can handle a good bit of size.
He's so skinny.
Yeah, but it's like, what does that look like? Because you don't want to lose any of that movement.
Right, and that's what makes things interesting moving forward for Auburn, because it's like, what do you do in the front court next season?
Yeah.
Because if JT Thor is bigger and better, that's a dude you have to play a lot. Jalen Williams has been your best player this season, and I think he continues to be a guy who can grow and get better in the system. And then, oh, by the way, Jabari Smith is 6'10", and I don't know if you saw his stat line the other night. They played in the quarterfinal game in the state, and he was like, I think it said he was 26 and 22 or something like that. He had a double-double where both of his points and his rebounds were above the 20s, and he had nearly 10 blocks. A triple-double with blocks.
That's crazy.
And Dylan Cardwell is your biggest body and is a guy that you want out there a decent bit because of what he can do rebounding, and if he can improve his offensive game, he can be a real, real weapon. And, Stretch Akinbola is probably your best rim protector and rebounder in short spurts on the floor. So, like, I don't know how you figure out all those minutes next season. It's a good problem to have, but it's still going to be something that is going to be weird for them to figure out.
Yeah, even look at your guards. Like, Powell's a pretty big guard, too. And when you get that in, and then it's like, what is – you know, you get the feeling if Cooper leaves, you get the feeling that they're going to get a grad transfer point guard.
They would
it's
have
like,
to, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, what does that look like from, you know, from a size standpoint? But absolutely. All right, Justin Ferguson joining us. This is Locked On Auburn. Give us an update on what's going on at the Auburn Observer.
Well, like we said, we had the depth chart come out earlier this week, projections on both sides of the ball. You can check that out at auburnobserver.com. I had a premium podcast on Thursday where we ran down that and talked about the Auburn-Alabama basketball game, looked ahead to the Mississippi State game coming up on Saturday. Mailbag up on Friday when you're listening to this, and we are getting closer and closer to spring ball. The fact that basketball is coming to an end means we're going to be switching harder into football mode here for the next few months.
All right, so more listener questions. Phoenix from Tennessee wants to know your favorite Star Wars episode. That's been trendy because Brad LaRondo earlier this week. And also your favorite player from each major sport, which you kind of already touched on.
Okay, so Star Wars, I told you this before we started recording. I have only seen two Star Wars movies all the way through. Never really got into it. I think it's one of those things where it's like,
you're such a film guy. That really does surprise me.
Right, and I think it's one of those things where it's like a lot of Star, like for people our age and definitely younger, it's like a lot of people, I think their Star Wars fandom, like it gets passed on from their parents if their parents liked it. My parents, like my dad wasn't into it.
Sure.
So like I was never really around it. I watched the first one of the new trilogy in theaters and I was like, this is all right. And then I watched the original and I was like, okay. So I mean, I guess there's only two I can really pick from, and
so 4 and 7.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with 4.
Okay.
I guess.
A New Hope. All right. Yeah. And then a favorite player from each major sport. So I guess you
like right now?
You know, let's change it a little bit. Let's go anything. That doesn't have to be Auburn. Let's go ever any sport.
Ever any sport.
Because your Auburn one, you kind of just said it, right? With Cam and Porter.
Well, I would say Cam and Porter definitely were the ones, you know, growing up for me that were the big ones from there. I will say I'll go football wise, I think my favorite player I've ever really, I mean, I really, really liked is Michael Vick.
Okay.
He's a huge Michael Vick guy.
Okay.
And I know that's got some loaded.
Yeah, I was like, wow, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Vick, basketball is Steph Curry. And that's no surprise for anybody who follows me and knows me.
Right.
Baseball, guy who's current right now, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Okay.
He's pretty much solely got me into watching baseball again.
He's fun, man.
And I'll throw one in there. I know it's not a major sport for a lot of people, but for soccer, my all-time GOAT, and I know he doesn't have the statistical marks to compare to Lionel Messi, but my all-time GOAT will always be Cristiano Ronaldo because he helped my Manchester United win a Champions League title when I was growing up. So,
well, that's huge.
Yes.
That's huge. All right, we mentioned you're a film guy. Somebody asked, I can't find it now, the favorite thing that you've watched since quarantine started. Tyler asked that.
Since quarantine started. Wow.
So that's been a year.
That's been a year. All right. Okay, so movie-wise, you know, there wasn't a ton of movies that came out. I don't know if you know this or not, but not a lot of movies came out last year.
Right. The year, you know, the past year, pretty much everything just stopped, actually.
Yes. So I will go... you know, it's probably going to end up being kind of like a tie for me for a lot of things.
That's okay.
I really, really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Judas and the Black Messiah, which came out recently.
Yeah, that's a recent one. Yeah,
story of Fred Hampton. It's a really, really good movie. I'll go three way tie. The three movies I think I would have put up 4.5-star, 5-star ratings in there. That one, Promising Young Woman, which is a really, really good kind of suspense kind of movie. That came out. Earlier this year, or no, late last year.
Okay.
And Palm Springs, which if you haven't watched that yet, it's a really, really cool movie on Hulu. Andy Samberg is in it. Christina Milioti is in it. It's a very...
Oh, is that the Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
I did watch it. I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I did watch it. I didn't know the name of it. Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's a three-way tie. Those are the three movies that I've watched in the past year where I'm like... I will ride for that movie. Like that's okay. Those are really good movies.
Intern Jaws with the big question.
Okay.
All right. Over under for these yards per game for Auburn in 2021. So over under.
Oh boy.
On offense, 200 rushing yards per game. Over under.
You know what? I haven't thought in per game stats in a long time, so I'm having to adjust. 200 feels a little high. So I'm going to go under.
Wow. Okay, that's surprising.
Slightly.
230 passing per game. If you go under on both of them,
no, I think
people may freak out.
Yeah, no, I'll go over there.
Okay.
I'll go over there. And I might end up being wrong with the rush. And I'm just thinking like, yeah, that's going to be tough. I don't know.
Over under 800-yard receiver.
800-yard receiver. Under. They're all gonna. It's gonna be even more spread out than what we thought was.
That's
for the last
that'd be
few
crazy,
years.
But that'd probably be a good thing. On defense, allowing 160 rushing yards per game. Over under.
Man, I don't even know what 160 looks like in normal game terms.
It's probably under, right?
Yeah,
I think the defense is gonna be good at stopping the run.
Right, I think the linebackers coming back are gonna be big.
Okay. Jaws is saying this is what the defense gave up this year, this past year.
Oh, okay.
So are they better or worse at stopping the runs from a yards per game than last year?
I think they could be better. Under.
I'm throwing you on the spot so much today. Yeah. Please come back next week.
That's all good.
All right, 240 passing per game.
Under. I think this defense has a chance to be a lot better on both sides of the ball. I also think that this multiple offense and the way they kind of go about things on the offensive side of the ball, if we're going to go for yards per game metrics, they might be lower on the defense side because the offense might be playing at a slower pace than what we'd be used to been seeing under Gus Malzahn.
And then last one, over under 90 tackles for Owen Papo. He had 82 last year. Over. Then obviously more games. Yeah, I think so too.
I think Zacoby's the one that would be interesting. Like how many tackles could Zacoby McClain get this year if he was? Yeah. I think he. He had more tackles per game than any Auburn player since Carlos Dansby. I think that's right.
It's a crazy stat.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. The craziest stat for me, though, still is Tank Bigsby averaged more yards per carry than any leading running back at Auburn since 1993.
Why is that not talked about more?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And, like, everybody knows Tank is good. Somebody asked me this week for my mailbag. He's like, is he the best running back in college football coming back next season? It's like Pro Football Focus thinks so, and I had to go back and look to see who's all coming back in college ball this year because this was a big running back class that went to the NFL with Najee and Etienne and you know both those guys from Carolina and guys like that. I'm very very curious to see Chuba also as well, but I'm very curious to see who would even be in that discussion because doing all that behind a not awesome offensive line as a freshman. In a weird year, shows you how talented this guy is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. All right, those are all the ones we're going to ask because I feel bad putting you on the spot.
No, it's
so
all
much.
Good. You know, it keeps me on my toes. I don't have a dad joke that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I forgot I asked you that. Yeah, that's all right.
I apologize to whoever asked that.
That's okay.
But no, that was fun. That was fun. I like some of those. The stat ones, it's like, I'll be honest, I don't deal a lot with yards per game stats because I don't like yards per game stats. I like yards per play because it's tempo proof.
Yeah.
If team runs a really fast offense, they're gonna have higher numbers than, you know, a really efficient offense that might play at a slower pace.
Which Harsin, it seems like he likes to slow it down a little bit and just run the best play that is in that situation. Mm-hmm.
I don't think
it's gonna look different.
There are gonna be times where they go tempo. His tempo is very much kind of like what we've seen in the, you know, I think his NFL is kind of the best way to go about it because, like, there's sometimes where you huddle up, sometimes you want to go, you know, no huddle but play at a real deliberate pace, and then sometimes you want to go full NASCAR, and you know, I think they're gonna mix it up a lot. That's kind of his whole thing, is mix up everything.
No, I love it.
And you can't predict what's about to happen to you.
Give us the details one more time of all the stuff you got going on, man.
AuburnObserver.com, $60 a month or $60 a year. You can sign up for that. Get everything emailed to your inbox, several stories a week, a couple of podcasts as well. We got a free podcast that comes out on Sundays most weekends. You can check that out wherever you listen to your podcast. And, yeah.
And read
the depth chart.
With spring stuff about to get going, this is a must sign up if you want to be in the know with all Auburn stuff. So, Justin, thank you so much. Once again, sorry for putting you on the spot. Please come back next week.
That was fun, actually. I have no issues at all being put on the spot.
Okay.
It keeps me on my toes.
Perfect. That's Justin Ferguson, AuburnObserver.com. We'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend. This has been Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.